You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy collides with real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We're going to start our show on algorithms with a story about rain. Stick with me here. On Tuesday night, producer Jody Avergan walked out of the subway in Brooklyn to find that it was pouring. The commuters who were prepared popped open their umbrellas. The others, who were damp and cold, well, an instant market appeared in front of them.
My name is Randy. I'm standing right in front of Nordstrom Bargain Store.
You got your left hand on something here.
I got my left hand on my umbrellas, waiting for the people to pass the back to sell to them.
You may have seen this happen where you live. It starts to rain, people need umbrellas, and boom, vendors react. Randy Thomas makes the decision to move the umbrellas to the front of his store.
I just take them to the front, and as the people pass, you sell them. Yeah, as soon as it starts to rain, or a little before it starts to rain, everybody come asking, what's the price of the umbrellas, and that's when you sell them.
This is a pretty straightforward market phenomenon. You increase supply to meet demand. But it also includes the element of timing. That's when it becomes a little more sophisticated. As simple as it seems, the umbrella market is driven by an algorithm of sorts, calculated in real time. A series of decisions based on changing variables. Some vendors, Randy says he's not one of them, will even use a moment like this to jack up prices.
It remains the same.
Have you thought about it? Oh man, it's really raining right now. People are desperate.
Well, not really, because I usually keep a good stock, so I usually maintain the same price, yeah.
Decisions about supply, demand, external variables, timing, and price, all of those decisions were made by a human in one small store. But that decision tree, that's basically what a company like Amazon or Orbitz does, just on a huge scale. Mountains of data, thousands of servers, and that model helps determine what you buy, for how much, and when. Algorithms can feel like the secret sauce for online commerce, but they were once used primarily by massive corporations. Guru Hariharan, who used to work at Amazon, now runs a company that makes algorithms accessible to lots of businesses. It's called Boomerang Commerce, and he explains to me how it helps his clients sell products, increase their profits, and compete.
What the company does is we look at a lot of parameters out on the internet, and what we do is we look at the demand signals from a variety of angles and price the products in such a way that you create a good balance between profits and revenues and growth in market share.
So basically, you're out there saying, we can look at all this stuff, crunch the numbers really quickly, and tell you what your product should cost.
That's right. So let me give you a quick example. Back in the day when a retailer used to manage 10,000 products, what this retailer used to do is they would sit together in a room in about once in 3 months and say, how are we going to price these products? Fast forward 10 years, we've got some of the best of the breed algorithms running for the largest retailers out there on the internet, but they've started to price their products on a minute-by-minute basis. So there's just a massive divide in the capabilities of the companies and hence their ability to grow in the market.
I'm imagining what it feels like for you to pitch me on a product. Let's say I sell thousands of shoes. Come tell me why I should hire you guys.
So traditionally, if you've been selling thousands of shoes, there are two things that are happening in this world. One is the thousands is becoming millions. When you go online, on especially some of the websites like Amazon and Walmart and so on, you're seeing the assortment or the selection expanding to millions of products. It's not just hundreds or thousands of products. So the amount of data that that's creating is just humongous. And it's almost impossible for a human being to sit through and look at all that data manually in Excel spreadsheets and make pricing changes for millions of products. Now let's compound that with one more thing that's happening in the market, which is the ability to change and react to market conditions on a very rapid basis.
How much data do you need to look at to be able to figure that out? I mean, how many different, you know, data points are you guys crunching?
We're looking at more than 100 to 150 data points.
Wow, more than 100.
Yes, on a minute-by-minute basis, and multiply that by about 100 million products that we are pricing. So there's just a humongous amount of data you couldn't have fathomed in the old school retail.
I've opened up your dashboard for one of the companies you work with to see what it looks like to be a client.
Yes.
And a lot of this looks like basically you're saying, here's the price you would have to set for your watches, that's the company I'm looking at, to undercut Amazon's price, be a little bit above it. You know, it looks like a great big pinwheel.
So in this situation, the watch company that we're looking at, there are certain watches where customers have been price comparing on Google Shopping and so on, and it is in the best interest for this retailer to be highly competitive on this product set. However, some other watches, they were not price comparing. Maybe they were exclusive vendors, and they in those situations, we may be using those products to make higher profits. The summary of all of this is that we are able to use algorithms to go out and balance revenues and profits for this retailer.
I'm looking at a chart of watches, and it's fascinating to me. There's a men's blue dial 18-karat gold-plated watch that Amazon sells for $108.76. Your client sells it for $94.99. And I imagine that's because you looked at it and said, you guys can do better here if, you know, you offer this for less money because this one is what, price sensitive?
That's right. That's exactly right. We saw that this particular watch, we were able to drive a very high amount of revenue and profits at $94. And we found, the algorithms found that this was the sweet spot where the customer demand was so high that it was completely worth giving almost a 50% discount on this particular watch in order to maximize revenues and profits. For this particular watch that you mentioned, we looked at their price on about 15 different websites. We looked at what is the price on Google, the top-selling websites on Google. Then we looked at what is the cost of procurement for this watch. We looked at what is the fulfillment cost for this watch. We also computed things like elasticity. If I change this price of the watch by $5, how does a company, a competitor react to it?
Your customers are still pretty big companies. Do you think there's going to be a day where a small retailer, you know, mom and pop retailer, is using algorithms and looking at data this way?
Absolutely. I think the sooner that retailers are able to, whether big or small, they're able to realize that they can use algorithms and modern techniques to drive retail, they'll be able to win and survive and capture market share.
If you're a customer, though, how do you know that the algorithm is getting the best price for you versus, say, you know, wringing a few more dollars out of you?
I think this is an age where the customer is going to win regardless of whatever we do. Price transparency is so high right now. When you walk into a store, you have access to your smartphone where you can pull it up and check prices on hundreds of websites on the internet. When you're surfing on the web, sitting on your couch, you can pull up something like a Google Shopping engine to go out and look at products all across the internet, and it'll just give side-by-side comparisons. So the price transparency, it exceeds any time in the history of retail that customers have today.
But if you look at an algorithm like, say, Uber's, that's an area where customers feel like they don't win because the algorithm is responding to supply and demand.
So I think that's a great question you have. Some of the algorithms, like what Uber uses, it's not just to capitalize on the demand and charge customers higher prices. It is actually to increase supply.
But don't you understand where I think a lot of people get nervous that supply and demand is being calculated by computers and by math, that I think makes people uncomfortable. They can feel like the algorithm is cheating them.
If Uber, for instance, were charging higher prices mainly to make profits, then over time, over the course of, like, say, 6 to 12 months, what will happen is that customers are not going to go back to Uber. They're going to find a different way to get from point A to point B. Like today, it was a rainy day out here in the Silicon Valley. I had to take a cab today to come to work. My car broke down. I wanted to call an Uber. On an average day, it would have been very difficult for me to find a taxi at this point. But what Uber has done now is that by increasing the prices, they have increase the supply on the roads of taxis because they just increase the prices by about 25 to 30%, and more Uber service providers are able to get on the roads.
But how much more did you have to pay?
I had to pay about 20% extra, but you know what? I was completely fine with that rather than having to miss this interview.
Guru Haraharan is the CEO of Boomerang Commerce. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.